Let's
Love
do
Talk
it.
Radio.
Oh, it's that time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. Saturday. African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Moore. We got Brother George. Topic of the day. What? Black History Month. Join us for family time. 65 days of positivity and motivation. But it starts with love. It starts with love. Brothers and sisters, there's no greater love, no better love than for self and kind. Welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. Again, it's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's something to stimulate you, right? Just for a few minutes, right? Out of a seven-day week, sometimes you just need to take some time off. And why not look at how you can improve yourself or to gain knowledge, right? The core tenets of the peace concepts really look at the cultural peace, the educational peace. And those pieces are very important to the stability that we need to deal with situations as they arise in our communities, in this society. And we want you to know that you can begin to use these tools. But education is so important. That's why we have Dr. Bruce and we got Brother George, right? Our resident scholars who are historians. They've done the research. They spend most of their life or the majority of their lives doing the work to educate themselves to share with you. So on Empowerment Saturday, we want you to think about how you can improve yourself. But most importantly, how you can be able to do the work of working on yourself right where you are. So with the peace concepts, the five tenets, politics, political agendas, right? And if we get, think about this, right? When we get to the national platform where we all have a very modest but similar political agendas, African-American specific town and state around the country, and then when we get an economic agenda, an economic platform that we all, most of us, buy into and work together with, that we begin to support ourselves and secure ourselves, right? Insulate ourselves, not necessarily isolate ourselves, but remove ourselves from the economic tension that we face. And then we start to use the A, which is to work on ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, right? Using those five states of readiness to help us to get better, to be able to change our mindsets, to be able to have a diet and a fitness plan that really keeps us healthy and well, right, with longevity. And then to couple that with a relevant cultural program system that really strengthens us and give us a positive background where our chins are up and our chests out and we're proud of who we are and we're proud of our ancestors for what they went through and the pre-ancestors before these ones that came to these shores. And then if we can have a comprehensive education, the one that teaches us about how we should conduct ourselves and the most positive things about who we are and what we do and what we bring to this planet. And if we could put all of those components together and round our children really well, I think we'll be in a good position. In fact, I know we would. Stand back a moment. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I just
we got
love
this deck.
It you, I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Absolutely so, Brother Stan. That is our dedication and commitment to our brother Stan Macklin, who's done it so well for so long. He's not with us anymore, but he's still here. And we're going to continue to push for us to stop trying to get in to fit in and create those places, those institutions that define our own reality, help us to gain structure and security in our homes, schools, and environments. So we have to continue to do that work of working on ourselves. It is yours to do as well. All right, now for my favorite portion of the show is to Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Oh, yeah. All right. Brother George.
what you got for us today, brother.
Bring it. What?
Hey, wife.
Yes, sir.
To the show, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you yourself and your family?
I'm doing good, man.
That's good.
Coming along. It's coming along.
That's good. Okay.
It's coming along.
Okay.
So thank you again and for all the... Sir?
That's it. That's all you can ask is, you know, to do what you can do.
True. All right, brother, what you got for us today? I know it's a good one.
Okay. From the quasi principle of the day from the Nguza Saba is Kumba, which is creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it.
I like that.
Kuumba, depicting a snake climbing a rafa palm. This symbol represents ingenuity, excellence, and performance of great feats. Observing the most ordinary details of nature has inspired poets, musicians, philosophers, and scientists to make wonderful creations, inventions, and discoveries. We too can be inspired to new ways of thinking simply by paying attention to the natural world around us. Amen. Amen. Dr. Bridges does a great lecture on the natural creation. Okay, with the Willie Lynch segment, this is the month designated for Black History, but to me, Black History is all year round. And I'm going to read from a book. It's a children's book, and it's called Black Heroes, Inspiring People from Ancient Africa to Modern Day USA. And the character that I'm going to read about is Benjamin Banneker, from 1731 to 1806. Benjamin Banneker was a self-educated astronomer, mathematician, and writer. Among his achievements, he is known for helping establish the boundaries of Washington, D.C. Benjamin Banneker was born in 1731 in Maryland. Both of his parents were free, so Benjamin was born free as well. As a child, Benjamin lived on a large farm and attended school when he could. When he couldn't go to school, he read as many books as he could. He especially liked science and math. Benjamin's lack of schooling did not hold him back from learning. He had a brilliant mind, which he used to teach himself mathematics and astronomy, the study of outer space. In 1791, Benjamin was invited to help survey and design land that would become Washington, D.C. He worked with another man to build an observatory tent and use an instrument called a zenith sector to measure the moments of the stars, the movements of the stars. Unfortunately, Benjamin's time with the surveying team was cut short when he became ill. Benjamin Banneker is also well known for writing almanac. An almanac is a yearly calendar that contains important seasonal dates as well as astronomical data, like the phases of the moon. With his almanac, Benjamin was able to predict moon patterns, planet movements, and the daylight hours. His almanac also included tables that showed the high and low tides. The tables were essential to sailors who transported goods using waterways like rivers and canals. Benjamin Short strongly believed that slavery should be abolished. In 1792, he wrote future President Thomas Jefferson, who was at the time Secretary of State, expressing his views. In his letter, he pointed out the injustice of white colonists in the United States wanting freedom from Britain while African Americans were enslaved. Benjamin also included a copy of his almanac to convince Jefferson that black people were capable of getting an education, achieving great things to benefit the country. Even though Jefferson was a slaveholder, he was impressed by Benjamin's achievements. Jefferson shared the almanac with others, and Benjamin gained the support of abolitionists in Maryland and Pennsylvania who helped him continue the publish of his almanac. Now, I'd like to add something in with that right there, because some of the story, you know, was such story, you know, but I think sometimes people do the best they can. All right. So Benjamin Banneker, actually the original designer, he died on the project. And so Benjamin Banneker had to redraw the plan because for some reason they didn't have access to the plans. And he redrew the plans from memory. He had remembered the plans in his head. And so he had to redrew the plans. But he also put some things in there that he thought things should be done as far as designing the city, laying out the city of Washington, D.C. And so essentially, you know, like he was the final architect that completed Washington, D.C. And so he also invented the clock. And that's why they call the clock over in London Big Ben. You know, I didn't see this in there, but I still think that when you have children's books that tell us something, I didn't investigate into who the author was, but I still think that when you can give our children bits and pieces of information about our people, that they should get that information. So, Marvin, you don't have any questions for me. It's back to you.
Thank you, Brother George. Excellent piece. But, of course, you know I got to ask you a question. You mentioned before you got into the segment, Black History Month isn't just a month. It's year-round. Can you elaborate on that, why it's just isn't a month?
I don't say – I remember when Dr. Amos Wilson – he always seemed to have a way of making very clear points. And he said that when we write about our history, it's not 300 words or less. He said we have volumes of history like any other people. We have libraries full of our history, probably not like any other people, because don't nobody else have them. But in order to get all that information, you can't do it just by focusing on one month out of the year. And plus, it shows the lack of importance that you have for your own accomplishments. And so I study our people year-round, and I try to pass it on to our young people year-round, and that's why I said,
thank you, Brother Joe. Appreciate the segment and your knowledge and wisdom. Keep plugging away, brother. Keep using your gifts.
Thank you.
Brother George is so right, brothers and sisters. We have to take it in our hands now. So the theme today is what, brothers and sisters, does Black History Month mean to you? And you know right now we are embroiled in so much in this country in terms of the fallout from the racist system that we just simply do live in, and its laws, in its governing, and its treatment of us since this inception of this country. But we still found a way to be resilient. And our ancestors wrote the foundation through their labor of this country's wealth, wrote it on their backs. And they rode this writing right on into an economic empire. But what do we have in return? But a few tears, broken hearts, broken families, and broken homes. And yet we still rise. So I'm asking you today, brothers and sisters, as always, challenge yourself to become the best person that you can be. You are standing on the shoulders of complete, absolute giants to endure what our ancestors have gone through in this country. So I'm asking you to sit back, call a friend, African American. We're talking about the meaning of Black History Month, and we're going to have Dr. Bruce to lead the way. So without further delay, got Dr. Bruce coming in, but as always, we have Slido today. Lines will be open, 845-277-9250. Slido today is 100-5913-10053. That's slido.com if you want to get involved, right, in the conversation or the dialogue, or maybe you have some Black history facts you want to share. But it's family time, right? So join us as we continue to work on empowering ourselves as I bring Dr. Bruce in the house. Dr. Bruce. Oh, yeah. Come on in, brother.
Brother Marvin.
Hey.
Okay, I couldn't hear you there. All right, all right. Hotep, my brother.
Hotep, how you doing?
Hotep. All right, all right, all right. Am I coming through okay?
You loud and clear, yes, brother. Loud and clear. Welcome.
Okay, okay. All right, all right. Yeah, I want to just commend those two brothers who helped us out last week on the program where we dealt with the Tyre Nichols situation. And that's Brother Kwasi from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Brother Marshall Thaxton from Durham, North Carolina, ex-police officer. I want to thank both of them for being a part of the program, and, of course, you, Brother George. And I was glad to, you know, to be a part of it myself last week. And to those who are tuned in, of course, I understand this is not my day to be on, but Brother Marvin and Brother George called and asked me could I kick off Black History Month today, which I will, but I'm going to also tie it in with the incident that we've been talking about since last week with the death of our brother down in Memphis, Tennessee. So let me, first of all, because most people I don't think know the history of Black history, I want to talk about the history of Black history. And we understand Black History Month, and when we were children in school, most of us who are adults now, we had Black History Week. I remember it was Black History Week when I was in school. And if you go back even further, it was Negro History Day. But most of us really never got the true understanding of why it was important, why it was needed, and what we really were doing it for. So today, I just want to start off the program for the first few minutes and give a little bit of my time to talk about Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Dr. Woodson was the founder, originator, innovator of African American History Month, and at that time it was called Negro History Day. Think about it now, brothers and sisters. There was only one day in the whole of the 365 and one-fourth days of the year that African-American people could talk about their history. Now, I must give it to a lot of our teachers. They brought things in when they could, or whenever they got a chance to, they would break away from the traditional curriculum and talk about contributions of black people to the American society. Would do it underground, but in terms of an organized day or an official day to talk about black people's contributions to history, it was only one day of the year, and that was in the month of February, Negro History Day. But in 1875, Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson was born in New Canton, Virginia. And when Dr. Woodson was born, he was the son of ex-slaves. As a matter of fact, he's the first son of ex-slaves to receive a doctorate in this United States of America that we live in. Dr. Woodson didn't even start high school, brothers and sisters, until he was 20 years old. Just to show you how age does not really matter when you go to school or when you get it, as long as you get it. Okay? So because Dr. Woodson had to work in the coal mines of Virginia. And Dr. Woodson, while working in the coal mines of Virginia, because he was able to read, would read the newspaper to some of the other workers in the coal mines during the little break that they might have from working in the coal mines. They had a little vending section for the Negro coal miners to get a little coffee and a sandwich, or whatever the case may be. And Dr. Carter G. Woodson would read newspapers to the black men. He would read African-American newspapers. He would read things like the Chicago Defender, the Baltimore Afro-American. He would read Philadelphia Inquirer or other black newspapers in this country. And this is how he began himself to learn and to achieve an interest in black history. He started reading the newspapers. So Dr. Woodson, as he would read to the coal miners who were on break, eventually finished high school, and then he went to a small black college called Berea College. And that particular college in West Virginia, I think it was West Virginia, yeah. And then after he went to Berea College, he went on to receive a master's degree from the University of Chicago. And Dr. Woodson, when he received his master's degree from the University of Chicago, after he finished that master's degree, he worked for a while as a principal. He also traveled over to the Philippines and taught school in the Philippines. And Dr. Woodson eventually became the second African-American to receive a PhD from Harvard University, second only to Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois. Dr. Woodson, Carter Godwin Woodson, became the second African-American to receive a doctorate in history from the University of Chicago after W.E.B. Du Bois. All right. Now, Dr. Woodson made a very important statement after he received his degree. He said that when I received my degree and before I had my degree conferred upon me, I learned the history of Greece. I learned the history of Rome. I learned some Spanish history. I learned French history. I even learned the history of Portugal and other European nations. He said, but in all my learning, I learned nothing about myself. Now, I want all of you all who are tuned in today to think about what I'm saying. He learned about other people, but he learned nothing about himself. Now, I want you all who are tuned in today, I repeat, to think about what I'm saying. How much of what you learn in your attendance in elementary, secondary, or high school, college, and those who have gone further, how much have you really learned about yourself in all of your learning? I want to ask you that question and think about it for a minute. Dr. Goodson said, "Here I am with this degree, and I know about all these other folk, and I don't know anything about myself." So he went forth on a journey to begin to learn as much as he possibly could about himself and his people. And Dr. Woodson was able to start an association called the Association for the Study of Afro-American Life and History. And Dr. Woodson also started a company called Associated Publishers, where he published books by African-American writers, both men and women, who could not have their books published by these white publishing companies. Even today, there are many good books and many great works of academia, many great works of fiction and nonfiction that can never be published by African-American, by African-American people, by white publishers. They don't want to publish our books. So Dr. Woodson said that because they won't publish our books, I'll start a publishing company and books by African-American writers. He realizes, Brother Marvin says sometimes, we started on our own. We did it because we saw the need, and we were eventually able to build Black Wall Street. We were able to build the Haiti community in Durham, North Carolina. We were able to build the Second Street community in Richmond, Virginia. We were able to build other Black organizations in Little Rock, Arkansas, the area called Dreamland in Little Rock, Arkansas. We were able to build these Black communities all over the country on our own. So Dr. Woodson did the same thing. Now, Dr. Woodson fought for and was able in 1926 to establish Negro History Day. That's when the first official celebration of the contributions of Black people in world history, and especially in America, was celebrated in 1926. And he chose the month of February because of the birth dates of Abraham Lincoln and because of the birth date of Frederick Douglass, right there in the middle of February, you see. So that's how Black history came about. And then Dr. Woodson kept plugging along and trying hard to become recognized in his efforts. And he was able to get Negro History Day, as it was called that time, to become Negro History Week, which it was called when I was in school. And then today, it's called Black History Month. So the word Negro has been removed. The word day has been removed. The word week has been removed. And now it's called Black History Month. So that's a little bit of the history of Black History Month, just to lay that out. And, of course, those who want to learn more can read on your own. But here on the National American Empowerment Program, we want to give you some information so that you can get started on your own. Now, how does this relate, Dr. Bridges, to what happened in Memphis, Tennessee? First of all, when people know who they are, when they know the contributions that they have made as a people, when they know that the blood of my blood is the same as the blood of my brother and my sister's blood, who may not even be directly related to me, and with what we've gone through in slavery on the plantations of America, oftentimes we don't even know who is or who is not related to us. So we have to be even careful with that. But that being said, when you know who you are, when you know that you were the builders of civilization, when you know that you built civilizations all around the whole of the 196,940,000 square miles that we call Earth, when you understand that you built civilizations in Zimbabwe, Southern Africa, when you understand that you built civilizations in Ethiopia, or Kush, as it was called at that time, when you know that the Bible is your book, that the Bible is a history of your people, that the Bible mentions your civilization in Genesis and is the first country ever mentioned in the scriptures of the Bible, Cush, K-U-S-H, sometimes it's spelled C-U-S-H, and that that Cushite empire in Eastern Africa spread all the way around the world, and there are maps that you that even call Cush or Ethiopia in Arabia and all the way over into the Far East. Ethiopian empires spread there, and there's a good book by Drusilla Dungy Houston called The Wonderful Ethiopians that you can, and the Cushite Empire that you can read that in. And when you understand that it was this civilization of Cush that fed the great civilization of Kemet, or Egypt as we call it, and remember that these names, Ethiopia was originally Cush, but Ethiopia is a Greek word that comes from the word ethios, which means faces, and opes, which means burnt, land. Faces, land of the people of dark complexion. When we understand that, when we understand that Egypt also meant land, the dark complexion people, that these were our kingdoms. When we understand our history, when we understand that our people settled Saudi Arabia, that we are the Hebrews of the Bible, that we are the Phoenicians of the Bible, that we are the Chaldeans of the Bible, that we are Shem and Ham. These people are our people. When we understand that our people settled Morocco and settled Tunisia and settled Algeria and settled these countries in northern Africa all the way across from Egypt all the way over to Morocco, and that these people were then called by the name of the Moors, but they were all African people. They were all the black people who set foot on the stage of civilization about 4 million years ago, down by the base of Mount Kilimanjaro, that these people who were called the Twa by some, T-W-A, called the Twa by some, these people who are called by some the Kui people, as Albert Churchward calls these people in his book, Signs and Symbols of Primordial Man, he calls them the Kui people, K-H-U-I. And that brings to mind Dr. Richard King, who has now gone to the ancestors, one of our great psychiatrists and historians. He always liked to talk about the Kui people. He liked that term, Kui. And when I say that word, it reminds me of Dr. Richard King, who did a lot of work on melanin in the skins of black people. But we understand that the Twa and the Kui and also the Kamri people, K-Y-M-R-Y, the Kamri people, K-Y-M-R-Y, were also the same people who were early on the stage of civilization. And when we begin to understand that our names have been changed, but that we are one people, they may have called us Kamri, they may have called us Cushites, they may have called us Twa, they may have called us Kemetic, they may have called us, they may have called us Moors, they may call us Berbers, they may have called us Arabs, but we all are the same people. And these Moors, when we understand our history, took civilization to Spain and Portugal and built the great cities of Barcelona and the great cities of Cordova and the great cities of Granada and the great cities of Seville. And white folk took those names and named them after cars, the Cordova, Granada, and Seville Cadillacs. You see, when we understand our history, brothers and sisters, then what happened in Memphis, Tennessee, would not have happened. Those brothers who have destroyed their lives and their families' lives and the lives of their children and other people's lives who were surrounding them, who are now charged with murder, three of these brothers, as we have found, and there are probably others, but three we know were college men, had gone to college. And let me tell you about the hypocrisy in all of this. First of all, Reverend Sharpton talked about, when he talked about Dr. Martin Luther King and how King was killed in Memphis, Tennessee, on the balcony there at the Lorraine Hotel, when Dr. King was killed. This incident with Kyrie Nichols took place not too far from where Dr. King was killed. Look at the hypocrisy in all this. These black boys who called themselves men and who were trying to prove something in the domain of white supremacy, trying to prove something to the master. These men, black on black, killed another black man. And we talked about it on last week about black on black violence or the psychodynamics of self-annihilation in the domain of white domination, you see. So when we look at it, we see it's very hypocritical. And then not only is it hypocritical because of where it took place and what Dr. King gave to the struggle of black people and also black being black, but also we found out by doing our research that three of these men were members of the Omega Psi Phi fraternity. Three of these men were members of Omega Psi Phi fraternity. They were Q dogs. Three of these men, one was the name Bennett. Tadarius, I think his first name was Bennett. Bennett was the president or the former president of Omega Psi Phi fraternity at the University of Mississippi. The other two don't know what school they went to yet, but they were also Bennett. And also Mills and Martin were the other two. And I remember their names because when we understand mnemonics, which is a study of memory, how to memorize things, when you take a course in mnemonics, and that's spelled M-N-E-M-O-I-C-S, mnemonics. Mnemonics means the study of memory. I looked at those last names, Bennett, Mills, and Merritt. BMM, and that's about what they were, bowel movement, Bennett, Mills, and Merritt, that mess that they did to black-on-black crime. We see that it was hypocrisy because the hypocrisy in it also is the fact that the founder and father of Black History Month, College G. Woodson, was a member of the Omega Psi Phi fraternity himself. So these men are in this fraternity as the father of Black History Month, and look at how they're acting. Look at how they carried themselves in this particular incident in Memphis, Tennessee. They were in the same fraternity, brothers and sisters, as the father of Black History. They were down the street from Dr. Martin Luther King's death, and they were black college student graduates. And this is what happened in Memphis, Tennessee. But behold, as I said before, if they knew history and understood who they were, then this would never have happened. So our colleges and universities, brothers and sisters, have failed us. Whether they're black colleges and universities or white colleges and universities, they have failed us. We become members of these fraternities and sororities, which is another hypocrisy. I'm about to give you the first one with Dr. King and his killing being near the location of the death of Tyree Nichols, with Dr. College G. Woodson being a member of the same fraternity that the killers of Tyree Nichols were a member of. And also we look at the fact, too, that these black men here who were members of Omega Psi Phi fraternity and who went to black colleges and universities became members of fraternities and sororities. And understanding the history of fraternities and sororities that black people became a part of were found on black college campuses, but they were replicas or they were models or they were copies of what white people were doing on white college campuses in the United States. But black Negroes, black people, have taken it further than white people by doing all kinds of crazy hazing-type tactics to become a Kappa Alpha Psi, to become an Omega Psi Phi, to become and Alpha Phi Alpha. I was reading where some of the brothers on fraternity lines, and I do want to send out applause, though, for the national chapter of Omega Psi Phi for giving, for revoking these three brothers from the fraternity and sorority. They did revoke it, but we don't even know the history of what we're joining. We don't understand the history of fraternities and sororities. Fraternities and sororities in black college campuses came from copying what white folk were doing, but white folk were copying what black people were doing in the ancient Egyptian mystery system, which I don't have time to go into right now, when the ancient priest and priestesses in Egypt and Ethiopia were trying to become closer to God and become spiritual beings, then white people took what was a spiritual thing and denigrated it and became it a physical situation, to where brothers like Omega Psi Phi would take hot sauce and put it on the penises of other men in the fraternities as some kind of ritual, or where brothers would take a bat and beat the genitals of another black man in order to become an Omega Psi Phi. We've taken what was a spiritual induction into a mystery system, into a system of spirituality, and have made it into something different. And we don't even know that the word fraternity came from the word fratry, which means brotherhood or sisterhood, and we were members of fratries, from which you get the word fraternity, before white folk got it. But when white folk came into contact with fraternities and sororities, they changed the whole meaning around, and we tried to follow them because we don't know our history, brothers and sisters. When you know the history, then you say, wait a minute now, do I need to be a part of this? I know the history, and if I do become a part of it, I'm going to do what I can to help some other black folk. I'm going to raise them up and do something positive. And I'm not saying that that does not happen among Delta Sigma Theta, because they do a lot of things. I'm not saying that doesn't happen among Alpha Kappa Alpha or the AKAs, but we have to understand, brothers and sisters, where those of all these fraternities and sororities are and where they came from. We're joining something that we know nothing about. And I'll never forget, as I began to close, Brother Marvin, I say that I got into it. I didn't mean to talk this long. I do apologize to our listeners because I was doing something else, but I'm going to just make a couple more comments and then I'm finished for today. But I remember when I was a student at North Carolina Central University, and I would see the brothers on Omega Psi Phi fraternity line, and they would brand themselves with Greek letters. And I would always say to myself, because it was around the time that the Alex Haley Roots had come out, and we would complain about Kunta Kinte being branded on the plantation. And we would complain about our brothers and sisters on the slave plantations of Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina being branded by white people. We would complain, but then we turn around and do the same damn thing to ourselves that our slave master is doing to us. How absurd. How ridiculous. What's wrong with you, black man and woman? You don't know who you are. You do not know who you are. And I'm going to end with a statement by Carter G. Woodson here, and I'll be listening, Brother Marvin. Dr. Woodson said that when the Negro in the ghetto is pushed down in the ghetto by the one who puts him in the ghetto, then he will be continuously dependent upon that one who pushed him down into the ghetto until he can get up out of the ghetto and stand on his own. Statement by Carter G. Woodson, and one more by Woodson as I conclude. Dr. Woodson said, we have learned the history of the Greek, the Latin, and the Teuton, but the Negro knows nothing about himself. Thank you very much, Brother Marvin. I'm still here, but go on to your phone calls, whatever you need. Hope you all got something out of the lecture that I gave today.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Powerful.
Powerful. Do have a few questions over on Slido if you are able to take one or two. Are you going to be on the line or?
Yeah, I'm here. I'll take them as much as I can. I'm gonna be on. Believe it or not, I'm helping a brother, friend of mine, do some moving today. So, but I just wanted to, when you all, and Brother George, you all called me and say you need me for today. I said I'll take a break and see what I could do for the program. So I just hope people are getting something out of it. That's all. Hope they're learning something.
Absolutely.
Changing their lives, changing their ways of thinking, and changing the ways that they respond to other black people by knowing who we are as human beings.
Absolutely. And be sure to tell your brother, friend, thank you so much from us for sharing you with us today.
All right, my brother.
But thank you. Again, this is Black History Month now. And again, we got so much to learn and so much to overcome through knowledge. So the first question is, on Slido, Dr. Bruce and Brother George, you can join in as well. How can we resurrect the original knowledge that the Greeks learned from our ancestors? How can we resurrect the original knowledge that the Greeks learned from our ancestors?
Well, one thing we can do is follow this premise. There would never have even been a Greek society had it not been for the interaction between Greece and Africa. When you look at the geography of it, you look at it, this is why, as I do when I teach, we have to begin to understand the oneness of knowledge and begin to understand that there are relationships between everything that we study. So when we study history, we need to also at the same time study geography in this particular case. When we look at where Greece is located and look at where Rome is located, just across the Mediterranean from Africa, and then we can see, and African people were here first and built civilizations, so quite naturally, any of those traveling Greeks and Romans would get in the war in boats as they did and went over into Africa and began to learn. And just to give you a quick answer so that you can keep moving along, this is another subject for another time. Pythagoras, where we studied in school, the Pythagorean theorem. Pythagoras studied in Africa or in Egypt for 22 years, and that's how learned what we learned in school, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. But we're taught that Pythagoras, the Greek, actually originated it, but he studied A squared plus B squared equals C squared. And in that particular formula, what you're doing is solving for the length of the legs of a right triangle. And it's very simple when you think about it, brothers and sisters, and begin to use your ability to analyze. If you're solving for the length of the legs of a right triangle, the oldest triangles that we know anything about are the triangles in Africa, in Egypt, and they're called
all
pyramids.
Right.
So in order for this, it's very simple, brothers and sisters, but European people have made, I say European people, I got to change this nowadays, when European white people, because when we say European people, there were many black Europeans, another subject, another time, but European white people have always made us think that things are difficult, and that's because so they could keep us out of things. They make it difficult for us to get driver's license even, make it difficult for us to ride a horse, difficult for us to get a job, make it difficult for us to get a degree, all kinds of things to keep us out. But anyway, when we study it, we find that the Greeks went to school, Stolen Legacy by George G.M. James, for those who might not be familiar. Mm-hmm. The source, George G.M. James, just like General Motors. Mnemonics again, how to remember something. George G.M. James, General Motors. George G.M. James wrote a book called The Stolen Legacy, and he talks about this. So that's the first thing. The first thing that we can do is to begin to understand that Europeans have come up with nothing of knowledge that did not originally come from the head of a black man or a black woman on this planet. And then we can proceed to go and try to find out who started, when it started, and that kind of thing. First of all, erase white folks out of it. Understand that you started math and science and art and drama and aeronautics and engineering and biology and psychology and sociology, and I could go on and on and on. So,
Brother Marvin.
Wow. Yes, sir.
I'd like to add something to that.
Okay.
When you talk about you know, resurrecting the original knowledge that the Greeks learned from our ancestors. One of the things about, and this is from the Golden Age of the Moors with Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, and he didn't write everything in there, but he put that together. He put that book together. And one of the statements that he made in that book was that the Moors, the Arabs, were big admirers of the Greeks. And the reason why they admired the Greeks was because they thought that the Greeks had did all these marvelous things that they eventually started writing about and putting systems together with and all of that, that the things that the Arabs learned, some of those things mathematically didn't work. And so the Moors in Spain and Portugal corrected a lot of the mistakes that the Greeks had made. I got my own theory about that, and I kind of think that was one of the things that made the Arabs jealous of the Moors, because we being the scientific-minded people of the world, we was doing amazing things, but they had the more powerful army. You know, but I wanted to state that because the knowledge is already there. It's in a number of books that are written by John G. Jackson, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. He was the biggest one that I really admired because he wrote the most on the Moors. And he took on a topic that I'm not sure that a lot of our historians didn't want to touch at the time, one that they didn't know because it was hard not to. But I don't think they wanted to touch it because it might have affected their brands or whatever. But the first one that I know to actually really dive deep into it was Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. And so the information, it's there, brother. You know, we don't have to, go digging into the pyramids and all of that to get it. It's already been written about. All we have to do is just read it.
Thank you, Brother George. That piggybacks to this next question on Slido. Again, we're at Slido, slido.com. You can always join us that way as well. Here's the next question. If the Moors settled Spain and Portugal, why haven't we been taught about this, and what happened to them? So I'm guessing what happened to the Moors. Dr. Bruce, Brother George.
I mean, why haven't we been taught about it? I mean, I think that's pretty clear, because you live in a society that wants to keep you ignorant. We live in a society called the United States of America that was intent upon keeping people of color enslaved, and we were able to come out of that physical enslavement, but then we were mentally and still are mentally enslaved. I mean, so I think that's kind of, you know, kind of clear. We live in a system that is not designed to teach you, but a system that's designed to make black men kill other black men, like what happened in Memphis, Tennessee. That's what we live in. We live in a society that will train us to become teachers on all levels and will give us degrees, but while not really giving us the pure knowledge that will help our people. So that's the nature of this beast that we reside in. That's the nature of it. Got some more questions, Brother Mob? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, brother.
Yeah, Slido is pretty good today. Are there Moors in America?
Well,
go ahead,
I was
Brother George.
Add this to that to the other question. If the Moors settled Spain and Portugal, why haven't we been taught about this and what happened to them? All right, now you have to understand that the universities that many of the Europeans learned from in the Middle Ages was set up, and the Moors were the professors, and, you know, they were their teachers. So one of the things that happens, it seems to be the only place that this happens is with your pen. They always want to burn people's books. They want to burn. They want to have a big bonfire of really, you know, documented information. And so when they had the book burning for the Moors in the 1400s, a funny thing happened 200 years after. They had the scientific revolution in Europe. And all of a sudden, all of these new scientists that created theories and all of this, including Sir Isaac Newton, they had read the books and they got a full understanding of them and then represented them to the world as though they did it. That's why they don't want to teach you about the Moors, because they stole everything that they have from us.
Mm.
And yes, the Moors are in America. It's us, the African Americans. I hope that answers your question, brother.
Yes, sir, Brother George. Yes, sir. You heard it right here, folks. All right. They're right here with you. Right here with you. All right, we'll continue on. Anything you want to add to that, Dr. Bruce, before we move on to the next question?
No, sir, I'll let you move right on. You know me. I always like to hear from the people.
All right. All right. Well, the people are asking these questions, so you're hearing from them in a different way, but we still going to answer that question so we can get them involved as well. All right. The next question is, continue to fail ourselves. Why do we continue to fail ourselves?
Just briefly, Brother Marvin, I think it goes back again to the fact that we just don't know who we are. That's why we continue to do the kinds of things that we do. If we had, as Malcolm used to say from Elijah Muhammad, if we had a proper knowledge of self, one thing about it, everything starts as a thought in the mind of a man or a woman. And if you're not thinking right, then your actions are not going to be right. So we have not been fed the right kinds of material that we take into us and into our minds that would trigger how to act. If you think that you're nothing, and if you have been bred on the plantations of America, which we have, that black is bad in everything that we could see, the black sheep of the family. Chocolate cake is not the best cake. The best cake is the white cake, angel food cake. It's not good to be of black complexion. It's better to have lighter skin than dark skin. Jesus as a white man. Devil as a black man. Cursing goes to the darker skin of the tribe. Blessing goes to the lighter skin. Everything in our whole environment, Brother Marvin and Brother George, has been shown to us that black is bad. Until we can correct that, and the way we correct that, as Brother George said, the books out there to start to read, to start to know, and to first of all understand that we have been tricked by an enemy of us that wants to keep us down. We have been tricked, as Malcolm said. We've been bamboozled. You've been took. You've been had. You see, so until we can get our thinking straight, brother, then our actions are not going to be straight. The thinking was not in order of those brothers in Memphis, Tennessee. If their thinking was in order, their actions would have been what it was. That just makes it simple.
True. All right, well, right at the top of the hour. One more from Slido, then we'll go over to the lines.
Oh, good, okay.
If we are mentally enslaved, how do we recapture our minds? Oh, that's one for you, Dr. Bruce. If we are mentally enslaved, how do we recapture our minds?
I guess maybe this is a new, but I've been saying it all the time. But let me say it again. I'm going to my book again. How do we recapture our minds? Is that correct, Brother Marvin?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. I'm going to my book called Recapturing the African Mind. How do we do this? How do we do this? In chapter number 8 of my book, just briefly, and to those who want more, all aspects of African and African-American life, I'm reading from my book, must be based upon African-centered thinking. As I talked about earlier on the last question, our thoughts have to be correct. Let me repeat. All aspects of African and African-American life must be based upon African-centered thinking. Trying to make it real brief. Okay. All of the actions, reactions, thoughts, and examples in conversation must reflect the African worldview. Babies growing up in the home must be identified as African by the use of African names. Songs and stories relayed to them by parents and teachers should have an African-centered focus. Tales of mythological characters such as Santa Claus and Peter Pan are not to be passed on if we are to recapture our minds. So trying to make this clear for the questioner, we have to begin to divest ourselves of all of the examples, all the symbols, all the models, and everything that we have been given that is anti-black. Every effort must be made to bring an end to the deception in the minds of children. A reality-based training is very important, since it is understood that many African Americans have never advanced beyond this childish mentality. It is clear that the minds are being recaptured when we begin to cease observing of European holidays, when we begin to cease using European examples in our schools, when we begin to cease or to stop saying that everything started in Greece and Rome, and it goes on and on. But I have a whole chapter in my book, not to go through the whole chapter again, Brother Marvin, but we have to change our thinking first.
Okay. So we basically need a complete overhaul of our thinking in order to do that. Thank you, Dr. Bruce, for that. I got one more on Slido. I think this is significant, and then we'll go to the line. They said, not all fraternities and sororities are bad. How do we get them to fully engage our communities outside of college campuses?
I agree. They're not all bad. They're all rooted in badness from European and Eurocentric thinking, but they're not all bad. As I said before, I didn't say they were all bad. I said there's a lot of good things that they do in the community. And one thing I think in terms of the community, and not just fraternities and sororities, but I've always thought, and this is one thing that I have always done, even when I was teaching on the college campus level, I would always try to bring some information to the community, like what we're doing here today. Not just keep it in the ivory towers of Virginia State University or Norfolk State University or NCCU or A&T State University or Mississippi Valley or black colleges, but some of the information that people have and that people have studied and learned somehow needs to be brought out from the college campus, away from those who haven't paid tuition, and brought onto radio talk shows, in forums in the community, and other kinds of things in order to get that to get the word out. That's one thing that has to be done. The college should not be separate from, and that's another lecture I do too, but the college itself should not be separate from the community. The college community and the community in the hood should really be working together, one and the same, hand in hand. And that has not happened. There's always been a division between the college students and the boys in the hood. You see, there's always been that division. But when we realize we're one people in the same situation and we all need any kind of learning that we can get, whether we're on college campuses or not.
Amen. for that, Dr. Bruce. All right, let's go to the lines. 845-277-9250. Deck is looking good today. Slido is beautiful. All right, we're going to start with 334-0148 is the last one. Hey, welcome to the show. You're live, Dr. Bruce, Brother George, Marvin Rome. How are you today?
Peace and finding yourself. Peace and blessings, Brother Marvin and Brother George, and also to you too, Doug Bridges. Thank you again, once again, for your presentation. You just can't help but learn things. One thing that I'd like to bring forth is the fact that I would hope that we search out those people, those individuals who are making, as we speak today and on today and of this current time that we're living in. And most importantly, this is a plug in for Dr. Rogers, who has transitioned, and in hopes that we can keep his essence flowing. One of the things that hopefully everyone would be able to get the chance to do is to visit theblackpast.com. Is a website that catalogs different individuals who are making those kinds and types of strides in educating us about our history, as well as thehistorymakers.org. These are two websites, theblackpast.com and thehistorymakers.org, that hopefully people can visit and be able to understand the kinds and types of knowledge that are being brought forward today. And hopefully we can educate ourselves more out of the dilemma that we find ourselves in. So this is a plug again for thehistorymakers.com and the blackpast.org. Hopefully I have mixed the two extensions, .org or .com, up. But the History Makers and the Black Past are two websites that I think would be very instrumental for us to understand where we are today.
All right. Thank you, Brother Lush. And again, Brother Lush is nominating Dr. Rogers and Dr. Bruce for those prestigious nominations and recommendations. So let's support that. Go out there to those sites and be able to support that as well. Thank you, Brother Lush. We appreciate your support. Continue to do the great work in the community. All right. Let's move on down to 919-6637 is the last 4919 area code 6637. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question, comment, statement? It's Black History Month. What are your thoughts? 6337. Go on once. All right. Just listening to that. Nothing wrong with that. Dr. Bruce is on fire today. 6337, did you come in? I hear some noise. All right. Let's go on down to area code 252-5347. 252-5347, you're on live. Do you have a question or comment for Black History Month?
Hey, brothers. Always good to hear from you guys. Enjoying the show.
All right.
Brother Marvin,
Brother
this
Reg?
Is Brother Reg. This is Brother Reg.
Hey,
how
Brother
doing?
Reg, how are you?
Doing
good.
I did call you too, bro.
Thank you.
I did call you. I want you to know that. So get back
okay.
with me. And Brother Bruce, he definitely was on fire today. And all the people that hear this kind of knowledge need to hear it. My observation today is that to piggyback off what you were saying about restoring the knowledge for this, redoing it for this day and time, we don't want to leave the ones that are out that are older now, because as we integrate this type of knowledge out there now, how do we get the ones that are educated at this time, that are in our local mm-hmm. governments, that are in our churches, that are in denominational religion, how do we integrate them into this process nowadays? I like your comment on that, because these are the ones we got to work with now for the sake of the youth and to teach the young ones now. So what do we do at this day and time for them, Brother Marvin? And again, call me back, bro, because we still need to talk. I love you guys, man. Stay focused.
All right. Thank you, brother. We'll do that. Dr. Bruce, Brother George, you want to take that?
You can let Bruce take it.
All right, well, I'll take it. Bruce, you there?
Okay.
I don't hear him, so I'll take it. I think what we have to do is, again, is education, right? As we look at the peace concept, the final E is education. And the more that we educate, right, those who are even educated in higher learning institutions, they don't always have the knowledge or the information that can help them educate themselves on culture, right? And the more that we can educate our young people on their culture, which gives them pride, right, in themselves, and the more that we can sustain that pride and knowing that we have accomplished things and that we have great histories and we have great accomplishments, then it's our job next to create accomplishments for ourselves. But I think we have to educate those, right, on the history and more importantly, how to regain love for ourselves, right? Dr. Bruce, what do you think?
I agree with you 100%, Brother Marvin, and these are the kinds of things, too, that people who are citizens of a particular city should organize and to meet about and to go see at the city council and to ask for these kinds of things that we're talking about. You see, we as, this, not to go into Dr. Du Bois now, but this is one thing we have to do as citizens of particular cities. We have to exercise our power as taxpayers and say that this is what we want from our city officials, this is what we want from our colleges and our universities and other things that are in the community to serve the community, because that's the number one reason that a police force should be in the community, to serve the community.
Absolutely.
Not to do what happened the other day, but to serve the community. But the people sometimes have to put fire on them so they will do what they're supposed to do.
True. It's the voice of the people. And it's true, right? All skin folk ain't kin folk, but education is very critical right now as we continue to love and learn to love ourselves in spite of ourselves. All right, let's go on over to 804. Area code that, 9116. Is there somebody? Yes.
Mark.
Sir.
Mark. Yeah, I got a quick comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I also think that you have an issue in the black community with being too black. You know, like it's information, okay, you can come to my church and teach on this, but no, you can't teach on that. But see, we got to get over the fact that if it's all the truth, and it's all wholesome, then we need our children to learn it all, you know. And I think that that's something that we have to be more convincing with when we sit down and have conversations with our pastors of the different sections of religion, you know, in our community, that we assure them that what we're talking about is wholesome and it's not, you know, like racist, wicked talk. And I think that we might get a better response. So thanks, brother.
True. Thank you. And anytime you want to jump in, just jump right on in. Okay, so I think another dilemma that we have goes back to the second component of the peace concept is economics. And a lot of times our people are tied to money and relationships. And again, like you see with Kanye West, it is money that is driving our people to make mistakes. It is money that makes our people want to get in and fit in and turn their backs on each other. It is sometimes money that makes us want to hurt, harm, and damage each other for the money, for the system that they work for. So that's just my opinion on that. Let's go to 804-9116. You're live, you're on. If you have a question, a comment, a statement as our black conversation on history moves forward. 9116.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm here.
Welcome,
good
brother.
Evening. Yes, sir. My comment today is the collective peace. Just bringing it all together. It's such a divide. You know, we all know the divide, but how do we bring it together? Like, what's the mutual ground and neutral oversight, and we can all bring it together? Because that's the only thing I see that we're lacking as a people at this point. I see all areas growing, but the unity piece is still the one piece that I see as a masses that's hurting us. I feel like once we get that, it's over. You know, we can go back to our rightful place. Just the unity piece. We're so divided on so many simple things, like Bro George said, but I feel like that one neutral ground should be, you know, being under the black diaspora or the youth. Those are two things we should all be able to come under. I don't have a lot today, so, yeah, thank you.
Well, that was heavy. That was a lot. That was good. Thank you, brother, for calling. Keep listening. Keep learning. Keep growing. All right. Thank you, brother. All right. Let's go on over to 919. Last four is 7789. 7789, you're on the line, so we're going to call you up. If you're just listening, just listen. If you're talking, let's go. All right, you're live on the Empowerment Saturday. Welcome to the show. 7789, area code 919. Do you have a question or comment? All right, let's move on up to 1683, 804, 1683. You're next, you're live. Welcome to the show. Hey, brother, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yes, sir, brother. Good afternoon to all and to all within the sound of my voice. Peace. Brother, I'm just going to say briefly that we still miscalling this month. It's not Black History Month. It's Negro History Month. Or my word, again, Nigger History Month. Because if it was Black History Month, we would begin the month talking about the one person, black person, who started it all, and that's God, brother. And nowhere right. during Negro History Month do we talk about God. And that should be our beginning point. Now, back to my word that I use, nigger. I was taught that in its original form in the Greek, that word nigger means something dead. So that means that we black people are mentally dead. That's why the mind has to be recaptured. That's why they call us niggers, because they know they have succeeded in killing our minds. That's why our history is not known. That's why, and that word itself, his story, is his story about us, about our past, his story. That's not our story. That's not us telling us about us. That's him, them telling us about us. So it's his story, therefore becoming nigger, his story. So celebrate y'all his story this month. Mentally dead black people. You follow me, brother? That's where it is. I know you got other callers, so I ain't gonna take up the time, but that's my input for today. And thank you, brother, and peace.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
That's a good history tidbit. I'm looking for Brother Daxton. I don't see him on here. To get him involved in the call. Brother, Brother Bruce, if you could ask him to call back in, but I don't see his number on here. He was on earlier. Yeah, it looks like. Okay, let's move on. 16. No, 804. 0673. You're next. You're live. You're on Empowerment Saturday. Welcome to the show. 0673. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I appreciate Brother Bruce always, right? I always thought that the students greater than their teacher be available for them. I learned to realize that teacher was always there, dormant. See somebody like Dr. Bruce Bridges to waken a person, right? In a Broadway play called Jesus Christ Superstar. When I was asleep, I didn't have a problem with that play. When I awakened, I realized the town cast was white. Jesus was white, Travis was white, Jesus was black. Something is just obvious that we don't see until somebody like a Dr. Bruce or Dr. Rogers simulates something in us to wake us up. We begin to analyze things on our own. And that's when I had to ask that program. And what I think that's right in front of us, we just don't see. So in Broadway play, Jesus Christ Superstar, whole cast of Christ except Judah.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kevin Lane, calling in. Appreciate it. He's on the road. He's still listening. Thank you so much. Cool. All right. Let's see if we can get you back in, Dr. Bruce.
Oh, I disagree with Brother Kebeline, Brother Marvin. I'll let you keep moving the calls, but I agree with 100%. And that's what I was saying, as he was saying, too, the symbols and the signs and some of the models that we see. And Sister Benita and I were talking earlier this week about something that she's doing with a lot of these movies that, you know, they may have black folk in the movies, and they may be produced by Shonda Rhimes, it might be produced by Viola Davis or Tyler Perry, but they're still produced from a white perspective because we are operating out of the mentality or the thinking of somebody else. We're not in our right minds. We are out of our minds. And it becomes very clear because of the things that we do and the things and the moves that our hands make. So I'll let you move on because I see our time is running down.
All right. Yeah, that's it for the callers for today.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's all we got for today. So we got through Slido. We got through the callers. And again, the focus is on what does Black History Month mean to you? And just from listening to the conversations, we got a myriad of positions that we take in terms of whether it's Black history or Negro history and all the iterations that we've gone through. But I think what's important about it is that we understand how important understanding our history and learning it, right? And then sharing it with our young people to create value, to create culture, to create cohesion and connectivity. And so having that pride and having that understanding of the knowledge of our people and what we've been through and who it was that have done these great works, we can then figure out how to do them for ourselves. What do you think about that, Dr. Bruce?
I agree with you 100%, Brother Marvin, 100%. And I'll be, and this being Black History Month, I'll be doing, you know, hopefully with, you know, with you and Brother George's agreement, I'll be doing some other lectures with you the whole month, some Black History facts, and you're absolutely right. But I'll be talking to y'all next week. I'm signing off now, but I'll be right back with you next week.
All right, thank you, right. Dr. Bruce. All right, the crowd is giving you a hand as you depart.
I do hope that what I have had to say has done something to uplift you mentally, to cause you to think, and you have learned from what I've given. Thank you very much.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce.
All right.
Now, Brother George, Dr. Bruce mentioned a book that I wanted to just tap into for just a minute. Again, thank you, Dr. Bruce, for joining us today and laying the foundation for what it is that we're working on for Black History Month. George G.M. James' Stolen Legacy, Brother George. Can you tap into your understanding of how important this piece is to our people who, one, haven't heard of it, or two, haven't been able to sit down with it to understand its value?
Well, from my understanding, George G.M. James wrote that book right around the same time that Miseducation of the Negro was written. There was a lot of, apparently, after the destroying of the finance communities in America, our people apparently understood that we needed to have a paramilitary side to any organization that we started. And so a lot of Black nationalist thought took place during the 1930s forward. And with Dr. George G.M. James, he was a college professor, and so he did a great deal of research to write the book that he wrote. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to do the same thing that I spoke about earlier. He wanted to prove that it was the Moors and the Egyptians and the Ethiopians and other parts of Africa that were the original architects of the arts and the sciences. And there also was a white man that wrote about that same topic, that wrote about the things that we did. You know, so he was killed after he wrote that book. He was run down on the campus, hit by a car. And that was one of the ways back in the 30s and 40s they would kill you. You know, because you remember in the Five Heartbeats, they killed their brother by hitting him with a car, with a trash truck. And they used to murder people like that. And so he was murdered on campus. And so, like, that book, he just first statement that he made from the beginning was, there's no such thing as Greek philosophy. Greek philosophy is African philosophy, or he said Egyptian philosophy, but that's what it was, and that's what it is today. You know, they, just because someone takes something and uses it well, does not mean that they created it. Now, it don't matter how well you use something. So let me get back to you, Brother Mark.
All right, that's good. Well, I want to wrap it up, Brother George, with just one question, and you can add it as a final thought if you like. Reading is so fundamental, and we know that. So I wanted to see if you could make a few recommendations for books for this month and throughout the year, right? We know we mentioned Stolen Legacy. We mentioned Dr. Woodson's Miseducation of the Negro. What are several other books that you would recommend that our listeners begin to sit down with and read for understanding and edification of themselves and their minds?
Introduction to African Civilization by John G. Jackson. Introduction to Black Studies. It's a textbook, but I mean, man, it's got a lot of information in it, and you could really teach yourself a lot about African and African American history by reading that book, and it has assignments and everything in it. The Golden Age of the Moors by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, because it's a collection of articles written by different people on the Moors. And so I would suggest that, you know, because, see, I would suggest the basic reading before you get into the really complicated stuff, because you might not understand, you know. So that's my view, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George, for your input today. We appreciate you. Thank you for the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Thank you, Dr. Bruce, for excellent presentation today on Black History Month and your views and opinions. And now to our people, brothers and sisters, knowledge is power. Begin to continue to educate yourselves. If we're going to recapture our minds, we're going to have to do it individually, but also collectively. The work begins with you, doing the work on yourself at home and in your quiet time, and then being able to change our minds so that we can have agendas, political agendas and economic agendas, that really look to speaking at those issues that we face in this country. And lastly, let's find heart again to begin to have everything in love, that we begin to love ourselves and our brothers and sisters like never before. This is, again, Black History Month or Negro History Week or Black History Day, but every day that you're on this planet says that you come from somewhere and somebody that's greater than yourself. And with that knowledge, again, brothers and sisters, begin to work on yourself. Become the best person that you can be. 365 days is African-American empowerment. We'll see y'all next week. Have a great week. And don't forget, there's more to come. Peace and blessings. Have a great day. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.